Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Under a Shady Tree with Lord Terry and Lord Onyx. Come on in, grab a glass of sweet iced tea and sit right down. These Southern Pagan boys are about to start their talk. Here's Lord Terry and Lord Onyx.
And good evening, everybody. Good afternoon, good morning, good wherever in the world you are. This is Reverend Terry Power, and you are under a shady tree with Terry and Robin. And we're happy you're here. Robin, are you there, girl?
I certainly am.
All right. See, I just love it when all of the switches do what they're supposed to do and you're there when you're supposed to be, which is so cool.
Yeah, yes, it is.
But, I mean, we know that BTR has its moment. So flipping a switch and it actually does what it's supposed to do is always a cool thing. So, how is the weather over there in Upper Central PA?
Not bad. It's rainy today, but it wasn't too horribly cold. It was just kind of damp and unpleasant out, but a lot of rain. It's mud season outside now.
Yeah, it was kind of ucky over here today.
Yeah, and the chickens were very put out that they weren't allowed to run around in the yard. I kept them in the coop today because of the rain.
Oh, you evil bitch.
Yeah, I know.
Where's that damn human? We're supposed to be out. They wouldn't have liked to be out in the rain anyway. So. Yeah, well, over here in Allentown, it's not been much better. In fact, it's been absolutely miserable, dreary all. You know, to get lunch, and it was miserable, dreary. Left work and went to a meeting. It was miserable, dreary. People cannot drive. And then it was dark and miserable and dreary, and people are absolute maniacs. They're either flying down the road, cutting in front of you into that safe spot that she's put between you and the next car so that if you do have to hit the brakes and you slide a little bit, you can keep control. And then some screaming idiot slides into that gap, taps on their brakes, and then everybody just starts tapping on their brakes, and you have this, you know, complete line of people parked because one guy was an ass. You know. Or they crawl along at the speed of smell, and, you know, they're afraid to drive their cars. So there's no in-between. It was an interesting drive to my meeting today.
Sounds like no fun.
No. No, and I'm driving, you know, your car with a manual transmission, and you know how much I love a manual transmission in traffic to begin with. And then you've got dummies that are, you know, making it even worse. So, yeah, it was lovely. anyway. Sorry, she's taking a big sip of sweet iced tea. And hunkering down, getting ready for the show. So, let's see. Tonight we are talking about sympathetic logic.
Yes, we are.
And, you know, this is a fun topic. And you know, you and I were discussing it earlier, and I'm holding that it was the first magic. You know, first time we realized that two things looked alike.
Mm-hmm.
We began to make that connection, and once we connected them, then we believe that we affect one, and we do something to one, it affects the other. And, you know, like attracts like. So I know that you're not convinced that it was the first magic, but...
Well, I think that it probably was extremely early, and no one will ever know exactly what the first magic was. I mean, some people say it was probably something simple like not magic. You know, make a wish, you know, and tie a knot on it. Others, like yourself, think it might have been sympathetic magic. It would... Maybe we should write a book about that, finding the origins of magic. But certainly, certainly it has been put forth as a pretty valid theory that the cave paintings were about, you know, drawing those animals near so they could hunt and have successful hunts. And it sounds like a completely feasible concept, and you know, like attracts like, one of the first and one of the oldest tenets of magic and how it works is, you know, if I do this thing and look like this thing and I act like this thing, I will become this thing, I will attract this thing. Like attracts like.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems to me that yes, you know, it may have been one of the very early first magics that people recognized. We have forgotten so much that our ancestors knew innately because they basically lived amongst nature. They got to see these natural laws at work, and we don't anymore. We just don't. We have forgotten so much that because we don't live.
You're going to get me started on my whole thing about how far removed we are from our food.
Yeah, far removed from our food, just far removed from nature, and having the time and the ability to sit down and watch how nature interacts with each other and figure out where we belong in that interaction. We have just decided to, you know, we're going to pave everything and build houses and apartment buildings, and so what, and how nature interacts and how we, and what our actual place is in that pecking order of nature. You know, we fancy that we are at the top of the food chain. You learn that in school. Fancy that we are the smartest, you know, beings on earth. And I think more and more we're realizing that that may not necessarily be true. We are just like the most vocal species. We just are the most conceited species. That's all.
Well, no, I mean, I think we are pretty close to the top of the food chain. And that's because we have the ability. We've got opposing thumbs. Okay, but I mean, it really comes down to we've got opposing thumbs. We can grab tools. We can make things, and therefore that puts us, you know, pretty damn close to the top of the food chain. Now, are we the smartest creatures on the planet? Probably not. But the smarter creatures than us can't hold tools. So
maybe they don't need to.
But when it comes down to us being able to feed ourselves and protect ourselves, we are definitely the top of the food chain. And I will stand by that. And that becomes, and that's the calls we can make tool. You know,
what if there was species that had evolved beyond that? Like, for example, dolphins don't need to really make tools, but they have evolved to have sonar so that they can use sound to stun their enemies and stun their prey.
They're not in our food chain.
No, but we're talking about smartest animals on top of the food chain. And, you know, technically people could eat dolphins if they wanted to, but we don't because they're, you know, smart mammals.
Yeah, but there's, you know, we're talking two different things here. I separated the two. I specifically said, yes, there are probably smarter creatures than us, but when it comes down to the food chain aspect of it, we're the top of the food chain. You know, we have the ability to destroy everything on this planet. I'm not saying that that makes us better or smarter. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that we are, you know, we're the top rung when it comes down to being able to kill things and eat.
It's kind of really hard to know.
Go ahead.
It's kind of really hard to know because when you think about that, we're the only species that can express that. We're the only species that can look around and say, hey, we think we're at the top of the food chain. If you're a tick, you might have a different, you know, perspective. You know, ticks look at us and see a bag of blood, you know, or a mosquito. And so, you know, they may have a different perspective, but we'll never know. Because, you know, they can't talk to us. I'm just playing devil's advocate. I just find it interesting.
I know you don't get into the whole thing about perspective. But I know this discussion. We've had this discussion. It almost seems like I set it up for you to have this discussion.
My favorite question to ask our students, right? What is evil? You know, I mean, if you're a lion and you're hunting the zebra on the African plains and you kill the zebra and you feed the pride celebrates you. You fed us. You are our hero. What a great mom you are, because the women do the hunting and the lions. But if you're a zebra, and you're, you know, with your own kind, and you're looking at the lions, and you're thinking they're evil because they kill us and eat us. How horrible. It's a matter of perspective.
All about perspective.
So if you're a tick, you know, you might not think that we're at the top of the food chain. But, you know, we'll never know.
Until you take a pair of pliers and pull it out and drop it into a, you know, glass of soapy water.
Yeah, well, pliers. Wow, that's awfully butch. How about tweezers?
Tweezers, yeah, that's it.
Okay.
You take whatever tool you're using with your opponent's thumb.
Okay.
This is something out of perspective. So anyway, we're talking about sympathetic magic tonight. And, you know, yeah, we both agree that the cave paintings are probably expressing some form of sympathetic magic. I was playing this over in my head today, and I was thinking about it. And, you know, it really comes down to about four statements. If this thing looks like that, then this thing must be like that thing. And if this thing is like that thing, then this thing and that thing are connected. And if I affect this thing, I also affect that thing. And that's how poppet magic works. That's how a lot of our sympathetic magic works. If I do something to this poppet, or put energy into this topic and affect this topic, then it's going to have an effect on the thing that it looks like, which it is connected to, because I say so.
Right.
And I mean, and that's the sheer essence of it. Tempest Wolf in the chat room says it's representativeness. Yes, it is. It's one thing is representative of another, therefore the other connected. And if they're connected in our minds, then we affect this and we believe it affects that. So really that's a short show, but I mean there's a lot of ways that we can go about doing this.
Mm-hmm.
But at its core, that is it. Would you agree or disagree? You have some other ideas to?
No, that's pretty much at its core. One of the things that I have always taught, again with to students, is something that I came across several years ago called the Doctrine of Signatures, and it has been somewhat discredited over the last, 20, 25 years by certain scientists and whatnot. But I still maintain that it holds an awful lot of truth. You know, our wise women, going back, let's say they were raised in a specific area and they got to know the plants and the herbs that they could use to heal in where they lived. And then let's say, a flood came and they had to move. They couldn't stay where they were. Well, you go far enough away, you're not going to see a lot of the same plants. There will be different plants. So now they have to start from scratch. So what was their reference point? Their reference point is basically explained by the doctrine of signatures, which is if it grows in a similar area and it looks like a similar plant and it smells like a similar plant and it tastes like a similar plant, it must have a similar use. Again, it's that same sort of theory of like and like. So if you know that the plant that you used to cure constipation always grew on the banks of the river and it had a, triangular-shaped green, dark green, shiny leaf, and you, travel 200 miles and you see a very similar plant, applying the doctrine of signatures to that and saying, well, I'm going to use that and see if it'll cure constipation and see what happens. And that's how a lot of the folklore and herbology was developed, was trial and error. Had to be. There were no books. So people who say, oh, well, the doctrine of signatures is passé and it doesn't always work. Well, no, it doesn't always work. It's not meant to always be 100%. It's meant as a guideline. It's meant if you need to be outside your normal territory. It's not meant as an absolute.
Mm-hmm.
But it does tell you to look for like. Like attracts like, and it will grow in the same area. It will look similar, and it will be generally used for the same things.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw this in nature.
Right.
So we saw this in nature and decided that if it would work for plants and herbs, why not work for, if we dress up like an antelope, bring the antelope to us.
Okay.
And I think that that's probably how sympathetic magic was born, at least in that cave painting dwelling sort of way.
All right.
Personal opinion. If you don't like my personal opinion, write to the station.
Yeah, we look forward to your letters.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. SURN.org@gmail.com. Just put the, Robin Spouting BS in the subject line, and we'll make sure the letter gets to her. Before we go on, I did want to give out the phone number and invite anyone who wants to participate in this conversation, if you want to, tell one of us that we're spouting BS, or if you want to jump in and share your thoughts and ideas, as long as you do it politely, we'll have a discussion. if we discuss the point and don't call names, then it's all good. Mm-hmm. That number to call is 646-564-9714. Again, that is 646-564-9714. After the little voice talks to you and puts you in where you can start hearing the show, then you hit the 1 button. That'll throw up a flag in the switchboard and allow us to see that you want to talk, and we'll bring you on at a convenient time to the conversation and, you know, or the show. So, with that said, the whole conversation about signatures, that whole concept is the same thing that builds our correspondence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of the things we think about when we think about air. When we think about air, we think about the dawn, we think about yellow, we think about the east. We think about, you know, all of these things, and yellow stones start getting work in there, and certain, you know, anything yellow really starts getting that kind of feeling to it. And the same thing with, at least here in the northern hemisphere, when we look at the south as the sun moves across the southern sky,
mm-hmm.
we see, you know, the noontime and red and fire and, you know, the heat of the day. And so south is fire, is, you know, yellow, or is, you know, red or orange, depending on your, you know, and then red and orange stones start getting associated with fire and all of these associations, because like attracts like. If it looks like it, then it's connected to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, would you agree with that concept?
Yeah, sure. I'm easy.
First of all, no, you're not. There's a lot of work.
Hey. I don't think I am.
That's the worst kind.
Excuse me?
Borrowing from when hearing that, Sally.
Mm.
The scene where she thinks she's low maintenance and he says, that's the worst kind, is that you're actually high maintenance, but you think you're low maintenance.
Oh.
I know, this is a discussion we will have tomorrow night when I get home. Yes, but...
I am not high maintenance, dear.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, that's right. Good answer.
But you are certainly not easy. So, anyway, so association. And, you know, that's one way that we can use sympathetic magic. Because, you know, the topic of the show tonight was, you know, how does it work?
Mm-hmm.
And how do we use it? So...
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, we got a few minutes before the break, but, you know, how does it work, or why does it, you know, why does it work?
Well,
you
it's
know,
definitely,
go ahead.
It definitely does work, because if you look at the works of, say, Carl Jung, the psychologist, he used to tell people to basically do their own little sympathetic magic things to make themselves feel better. You know, people say, well, it's a trick. You're tricking yourself. You're tricking your own brain. But there's something more to it than that. There's some physiological response when we do sympathetic magic. So, for example, one of the things that he used to tell people was if they felt that somebody was speaking ill of them and it was upsetting them, he would have them write down on a piece of paper the person's name, what they were saying, put it in a baggie and stick it in their freezer. That's pretty classic sympathetic magic. Excuse me?
Did they have freezers when Jung was teaching?
I imagine.
I mean, I do know the concept of freezing someone out of your life or freezing them out.
Right.
I just didn't realize that Jung had given us that because.
Yeah, that's in his book. So anyway, so obviously if he was using this and experimenting with it, he was finding that it had value, and it does work. Sympathetic magic, again, you know, you talked about puppets. Sympathetic magic is different than magic that we do where we raise energy and we program that energy with our desire and our will, and then we send it off to the universe. That is sort of like a stylized temper tantrum, if you will. You know, you're doing something to raise all this energy, and you're stomping your foot, and you're sending it out there and saying, "This is what I need." You know. Sympathetic magic is a little bit quieter, but certainly no less effective.
And we'll see. I'm gonna suggest that the two are complementary.
Mm.
And maybe we should save that for how to use it and get into a deeper conversation about puppets and their uses. Because I've got a suggestion, if you will remind me. I have a suggestion about that very topic, about energy magic versus puppet magic or sympathetic magic. Because I think we can use one to affect the other. But we'll come back to that. So we've got a few minutes before the bottom of the hour, and I did want to kind of stick to, you know, how does it work? And, I mean, we... Life affects, you know, life attracts like. I mean, if we're putting good energy, I mean, this is the essence of the threefold law. Which, you know, I don't believe for an instant that there's a cosmic tote board up there and that the universe has time to worry about what I do and, you know, to whom I do it. I think that the law of threes is, or the threefold law, or however you want to word it, is more about sympathetic magic. It is that like attracts like. If I'm putting out negative energy, if I'm just being an Eeyore, and it's always, 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 oh, bother, well, what energy or what people are going to be attracted to that? The same kind of energy. And we're going to create that as our reality. It's self-reinforcing. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, all these people that, and I'm amazed at the number of people that sit around waiting for the other shoe to drop, and then they're freaking surprised when it does. Well, you created that. You did magic to make that happen. And then it happens, and you're surprised. Maybe I'm missing something. But the threefold law, in my opinion, is as long as I'm putting out negative energy, guess what? Negative energy is coming home. If I change my way and I start putting out positive energy, well, wait a minute, what's going to be attracted to me? If I'm spreading love in the universe, well, love and energy is going to come back. The person that's wonderful to be with, that another loving person is going to come into my life and be attracted to that loving energy, and my world gets better. That seems awfully simple. It is. It's frighteningly simple. And that's all we have to do is create our own reality. Yeah, I get up some mornings and I don't feel good. I get up some mornings and I want to be Eeyore. And I try my best to put on a glad face, to tell myself that this is going to be a good day, damn it. And get up and go through my day and try not to be Eeyore with all the people around me. Try to put good energy out into the universe. And 9 times out of 10, it works. And pretty soon, people are being nice to me, and damn, my day gets better. How about that shit? And it started with a decision that I made. Is that sympathetic magic, darling?
Yes, in a way.
Okay. It's all about like attracts like. Which is what you started off with. Like attracts like. All right, so we are at the bottom of the hour. Let's go ahead and take a short break. When we come back, we will talk about how it works, how to make it work, how to use it to our benefit. And we will be taking callers at 646-564-9714. Remember to wait for the voices to stop talking and you actually hear the show and hit the one button and you'll be able to call, be able to talk with us. So stick around for a few minutes. We're going to play. Where did it go? I had it right here. Dagger of the Moon. There it is. Dagger of the Moon by Emerald Rose. And we'll be back in a few minutes.
That invests the storm, a cavern in spring and love, with its cadence and starlight, the blistered palm holding its tomb. And would you still stand here, cock alone, with the baying of blood-eared hounds, and suffer facing the serpent's bite, the dagger of the moon? Sing the heart of the water, shape the dun clay, see the fire, sink on the wind, spread your wings and fly high. Let the mirror call you, touch your doorway, no desire, but open it not, lest you surely die. In a secret round, on cloven step the circle spoke, in salted sands and tidal runes. I hear you a song that enchants the storm, a dormant ringing mouth, beyond the fog of astral smoke, without the strident clock rites tune. Open your eyes and let it fall. Dagger of the Moon. The dagger of the moon.
one power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it. And we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
To Terry and Onyx on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
We'll move you. Welcome back, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Power, and you are under a shady tree with Terry and Robin. Robin, did you make it back?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Woohoo! Another break. We got back, and everybody's here. This is a good day. The BTR has been acting stupid lately. So
this is true.
So we're having a good night. So far, I don't want to jinx it or anything, you know, give the gremlin something to play with. But anyway, so we are talking tonight about sympathetic magic. And before the break, we were talking about why it works. What is it? And I had expressed the idea that we create our own reality. That the energy we put out is the energy that's returned to us, and that we have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And how I expressed that I believe that that is the essence of life tracks like, and at its core, that is a form of sympathetic magic. And sometimes it is as simple as making a choice as to what my mood is going to be or the day I'm going to have. Mm-hmm. And then we've got a caller. Called in and wants to express some similar ideas. So let's go ahead and bring Elphaba on. And let's see. All right, Elphaba, are you there?
I am. Hello.
Hi.
Hey. So during the break, you were expressing about your belief that we do make our own choices and we kind of create our own reality, and you had a story you wanted to tell.
One of many. I'm not sure which one you want to hear, but I do believe that we are in control of everything we do.
You had started to say something during the break about a friend of yours who was not feeling...
Yes, I recently did meet a friend of mine who was brought to tears when she knew that I felt like she did. And it's so important to understand that we are not alone in feeling these what we have about nature or what we have about what's around us.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to feel not in control, and it's okay to feel in control at the same time.
Okay. And so, have you ever used sympathetic magic in order to make yourself feel better, make your day feel better? Have you ever done a sympathetic magic working?
I've used the power of the witch regularly, yes. I do crystal countdowns and meditation. I believe it's very healthy for anyone to do in any form that they have meditation in. to sit back and just watch life happen sometimes is okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Being a keen observer is part of it.
I'm so sorry. I couldn't hear what you said.
No, I was just saying that sometimes being a keen observer of life, the universe, and everything is one of the keys to being a witch.
Yes. Observing and anticipation and perceiving what's going to happen before it happens is kind of a gift, yes.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in and sharing that. We appreciate it. And we enjoyed you being on the show.
Glad to have you guys here. Blessed be.
Thanks.
All right.
Blessed be. Have a good night.
Bye.
All right. Well, again, thanks to Elphaba for calling in. And adding to the show, we are still taking callers at 646-564-9714. Now everybody sees how easy that was. And call in and be a part of the show. So, puppets. How do we use it? How do we use sympathetic magic to make our lives better, to affect change in the universe? Take it away, Don.
Oh, thanks. Well, I mean, I really believe that sympathetic magic is a useful tool in that. Once we've identified a situation that we know we need to do something about, sometimes it's hard to take certain steps in order to fix our lives. But if we look at it from the standpoint of that we can do magic, we can affect change, and it's sometimes a lot easier to represent that change with physical action rather than sitting around and moping about it and thinking about it. It feels better to many people to feel like they have some control and that they can actually do something physical about it. And in that way, they express their need for change, whether they realize it or not.
Okay.
Once you have identified...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, once you've identified, you know, here's a change I need to make, now you can busy yourself with thinking about how you can represent that physically in a spell or in a ritual. And then once you've done that, to sit down and actually do it is the next step.
Oh, certainly. I mean, I think that the mundane action has to follow or even precede any of our spell work. You know, I tell people all the time that, you know, not doing the mundane things is like doing a spell to win the lottery, but you never go out and buy the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to do certain things to allow the magic to occur. Puppets. Yeah, I mean, I love to work with puppets. And, you know, it's funny. My first trip to Haiti about 5 years ago, people asked me to bring back a voodoo doll. And I came back with these very simple puppets made for me by a voodoo priestess. And they said, well, these aren't voodoo dolls. He was like, no, we're not in New Orleans. You know, I mean, this isn't a showpiece. Mm-hmm. You know, the stuff, the New Orleans style kind of voodoo dolls are not necessary. I mean, most practitioners are going to use a simple puppet. They're going to make it of the color to represent the type of energy they want to use. And again, there's a correspondence and a like attracts like aspect to that. Then they're going to make it look like the person it represents. Maybe that's with the hair. They get some yarn and put hair on it of the appropriate color. Mark it in some way as to whether it relates to gender. Maybe an article of clothing from that person or something that looks like that person. And the more this bag of cotton or whatever filler you use looks and feels and most closely represents the person that you are trying to affect, then the more real that connection becomes. The more you think this looks like that person, we're back to the this looks like that, this must be like that, that, this and that, because they look alike, now have a connection, and so if I affect this, then I also affect that.
Mm-hmm.
And the more that puppet represents the person, the more strong that connection in your mind, and therefore the more strong the connection in magic. And that's sympathetic magic. Then if I do something to this puppet, it is done to the person. So if I send healing energy, and here's the point I wanted to make earlier, if I send energy into that puppet, that energy is going to affect the person. So if I send healing energy into this puppet, that energy is going to be directed at the person that I am trying to heal. And using the puppet as a representative, it is easier for me to direct the energy into something I can see and therefore direct it to the person that needs the healing. And that's where I was going to talk about how they complement each other.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Long pause. This is where I was.
I'm listening.
You
said you were going to talk about how they complement each other, so I'm listening.
Well, I just did.
Okay.
I said that is how they complement each other.
Oh, okay.
And then I took a long pause while I waited for you to speak.
Yes.
We've been doing this together for a year now. I mean, it's just.
Mhm.
Please, your comment. Your
yeah, and it's funny that the. Yeah. Never mind. Anyway, the back to the puppet. The
yeah.
One of the things I was always taught about puppets, and this goes back to my familial tradition, I guess, is that if you're going to create a puppet, you should create a puppet from something in your mind that represents that person, and something simple. So T-shirt, you know, perfect example. Take a T-shirt and create the puppet of that person's T-shirt. But the bottom line is that you need three things in and on or of that puppet that will connect that puppet to the person whom you're trying it for it to resemble. And some of those things that you can get, aside from decoration type things, would be hair, nails, blood, sweat, any of the bodily fluids, urine, fingernail clippings, even like, you know, dead skin, peeling skin, whatever, any of those things that will, and the thing there is to create the bond with that person's, you know, physical body. And again, it's that like attracts like. This puppet now has some of what that person, you know, some of that person's body. So, yes, like attracts like.
Okay. Well, I think you're taking that even to a deeper level, because you're looking at once something was connected to a person, it's always connected.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you brush your hair and you've got hair in your brush, that
mm-hmm.
hair that is in your brush is still connected to you energetically,
mm-hmm.
even
right.
though it has naturally fallen out just
right.
because, you know, new hair grows.
Right. It is of your signature, of your body. It is uniquely a piece of you. And so if I take that and I put it... Right.
Yeah.
So if I take that and I sew it into the poppet, then that poppet now has some of your unique signature in it, and it makes it more related to that individual.
Okay. All right. Now, some of the other ways that you can use sympathetic magic, and people aren't going to automatically, you know, understand or presume that this is magic. But when it comes down to it, it really is. If you set a goal and you have a picture that represents the end result of the work you want to do, I mean, it could be saving up to buy a car, and you put a picture of that car where you see it all the time. That's actually sympathetic magic.
Mm-hmm.
That is actually drawing that to you. It is directing your focus to do the things necessary to create that reality. That's sympathetic magic, sticking it on the fridge, sticking it on the mirror, setting it on your altar so that every time you meditate, there's that image. Every time you go to the altar to commune with your gods, there it is. And it becomes linked to you. Then you start drawing that to you because like attracts like. You know, I think that to a certain degree, if we have something we want to remove from our life, and, you know, a bad habit we're trying to break or something like that, a person we want to remove from our life, some representation of that thing or habit or trait or person or whatever or situation, and we take that and we put it in a fire and we watch it be consumed. In the chat room, Tempest Wolf says a banishment fire. Exactly. We watch that thing be removed. That is sympathetic magic because there was something that represented a thing and we burn it and remove it. That's sympathetic magic because like is affecting like. What are some of the other ways that you can think of?
Well, I mean, some of the oldest sympathetic magic in a way is a witch's measure when you join the coven. You know, you take your height in a piece of cord, you know, you double it and you take your height in a piece of cord, and that cord represents your connection to those other people in the coven. And then, you know, not magic, also being sort of a sympathetic magic in that you make a wish or you have a desire and you put a knot in your cord, in your measure, to keep that magic in that cord, to sort of trap it there and imbue that cord with that magic and that wish. So let's say you are using your witch's measure and you want to bind yourself to the coven, and so you make, I don't know, 5 knots in your cord because there are 5 people in the coven and you're binding yourselves to those people. Then that sympathetic magic, which involves the use of knots. There are so many ways to use sympathetic magic. I don't think there's enough time in this show to talk about all the different sympathetic magics.
I was mainly going with representative or imitative magic tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you know, as Tempest Wolf said, representative.
Mm-hmm.
Or in the case of the cave drawing, it's imitative. And, you know, that's kind of where my mind went when we started on this topic,
mm-hmm.
with that kind of imitative another comment in the chat room, as in a hand fasting where a cord is wrapped around the wrist, and that outwardly symbolizes the bonding of two people together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that almost falls under the definition of a sacrament. And I know people will get real funny when you use the same words as the church, but, you know, that is a sacrament. It is an outward representation of something that's going on within us. So, you know, it's symbolic of the binding that the two people are doing energetically. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, I think, gosh, it is 5 minutes until the top of the hour.
Mm-hmm.
This has hurtled by. This is one of those cool shows that you look down at the clock and go, ooh, I suppose we ought to start wrapping up.
Yep.
So why don't you share your final thoughts?
Well, my final thoughts are that sympathetic magic is something that anybody can do. It is accessible to all. You don't have to have read any big muckety-muck ceremonial books in order to get it right. You can't screw it up. And I think that people seem to overcomplicate magic. It is simple, it is easy, it is powerful, and it definitely works. And so you should try your hand at it if you have not to date. And certainly there are wonderful books out there that talk about it. One of my favorite books that contains the laws of magic and actually does talk about sympathetic magic is a book Isaac Bonowitz wrote called Real Magic. There's a section in that book that talks about computer gaming. Just ignore it. Everybody does. But the rest of the book is very interesting. I once talked to Isaac, and he said he had to include that section in the book so that it would get published. So it was part of his Berkeley thesis, but that's a whole another story. But the rest of the book is very valid. So if you want a jumping off point, you can start there.
All righty then. All right, so how does someone get in touch with us, Dawn?
They can get in touch with us at Little Stone Bridge Pathworking's Facebook page. They can also get in touch with us at littlestonebridge@gmail.com if you want to send us an email. Either one of those places would be a great place to contact Terry or I if you'd like us to come and speak at an event or give workshops. We have a whole catalog of workshops that we present, everything from sacred sexuality to couples communication to forgiveness, the I Forgive series. There's just lots and lots of, how to lead a virtuous life and the rewards of leading that life and how to get there.
That you're working on contemporary myths.
Yep, contemporary myths.
Some information to do a workshop on contemporary myth cycle, which seems to be a very popular topic of late. So,
absolutely. And so,
any topic you've heard us talk about on the air? I mean, we can obviously talk about it for an hour here. We can talk about it for an hour to your group. So,
absolutely. And so we're always available for those sorts of engagements. And you can also reach us at the radio station if there's something that you would like to see us talk about or something you'd like to contribute, complaint or comment, something you did like. Feel free to write us
praise.
At S... Huh?
Or praise, you know, every now and again, you did a great job. But anyway, what's the address?
Oh, praise. That's what you said. I didn't hear it. Okay. And so you can reach us at the radio station at CERN.org robinmckean@gmail.com. And you can reach me through my Facebook page at Robin McKean. And they can reach, you can reach Terry on his Facebook page at Rev Terry Power HP.
Yep, and you can follow me on Twitter at Rev Terry Power HP. So, gosh, it's been a fun show. Sympathetic magic is, you know, as Robin said at the beginning, like attracts like. And, you know, I still maintain that, that sympathetic magic and like attracts like is the essence of creating a happy world. We create our own reality. And the energy we put out is the energy that's going to be drawn back to us. So in every moment you can make a choice. You know, you can restart any point in the day. You can say, I'm not going to go to a bad place. I'm going to choose positive. And we can do that at any point in the day. We make our own choices and we are bound by the effects of those choices. So make good choices, make happy choices, choose love, and almost everything else will follow and fall into place. So with that, I am going to wish you all a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night and blessed be.
Blessed be.
For listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.